welcome to episode 34 of the JockX podcast. My name is James O'Connor, and today I am super excited to have Trav Bell here. Now, Trav is affectionately known as the bucket list guy because this man helps people really dig down into themselves and decide, hey, what the hell do we want to actually achieve? What are the things that we've always dreamt of? You know, what are your bucket list items and really getting them into practice and into the swing of things and making them happen? And he has whole sets of procedures behind this. But ultimately, this guy is awesome. He's hilarious. He's entertaining. He's really sort of been there, done that sort of type of guy in terms of he started back in the early 90s with his own personal training. Now, just to give you guys an idea, back in the 90s, there wasn't a huge amount of people doing it. So he's one of the original guys who started personal training here in Melbourne and went on to grow that into, I think, well over, multiple gyms and franchises across the country. Did that for about, nearly 20 years, 15, 20 years. And then decided to really get into, follow his passion into the coaching sort of world, become an author, speaker, entrepreneur, and really now is helping people all across Australia, across the globe, spoke all around the world, on living your life out and living those bucket list items and making them happen. In this podcast, we cover some really cool stuff. We go into some of his trips he's done, the Kokoda Trail across Machu Picchu, all across the globe, and doing some really crazy stuff. And it's all around quite hilarious, quite funny. And man, he's a guy. I'll chuck a picture up of him. You have to check him online. But he comes in. We sit down there at the Botanic Gardens in Melbourne, here in the city, and he rocks up and he's got a whole mohawk happening and he's fit as, and he's a surfer, and we just had a great chat. So I reckon you guys are going to get absolute heaps out of this. Like, he really can be that sort of lightning bolt and for you to making that decision that, hey, I need to get cracking with what I want to achieve. What are my bucket list items? Have I gotten written down? What's my process? People, it's like they're saying, some people walk around as if they live twice. We only live once, and Trav here really brings that home. And man, so I was super excited. I know you guys are loving. Thanks and peace out for the guys who are doing shares of this podcast, shares of this particular episode of Trav on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Massive love out towards you guys. This is all for you guys and taking yourselves to the next level and powering your greatness. And also, guys, if you ever get a chance, jump on iTunes, give this podcast a review. Really helps us out here and helping us get some awesome guests on for you and keeping this podcast coming week in, week out. So thank you so much for that. Really enjoy this episode 34 of the JockX podcast. Myself, James O'Connor, and Trav Bell. So welcome to the show, Trav.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, James.
Exciting to have you here. We finally got it worked out, and we're out in the park here. It's a little bit breezy, but...
It is a beautiful day.
It's not
summer is upon us.
For a Tuesday afternoon, it's not too bad. So exciting. For all the listeners out there, I'd love to start a bit about your background and what you've done in the past and now what you're currently doing.
Yeah, cool. Well, first of all, my past working life, I grew up in Ocean Grove, which is on the coast, just down past Geelong, out of Melbourne, and grew up on the beach down there, surfing, just being a jock basically my whole life. I think I failed year 10 veggie maths when I come to think of it. But that led me on to do a phys ed degree, and then third year PE, I actually started this thing called personal training when there wasn't this thing called personal training back in the 90s. That's how old I am, kids. And basically, I started with one client, at a Footscray swim centre over there, and then went to then developed a full book of clients, and then went on and franchised personal training studios. Got to a chain of about 21 personal training studios, motivated tens of thousands of clients across Australia, did millions of personal training sessions, and in a nutshell, grew it into a monster. I became someone that I didn't really like. I got some depression. There was a few, legal blues and stuff like that going on. It just did my head in, mate, and went from there and went, what do I really want to do? Did a whole bunch of life coaching and personal development to quote unquote help others, but I was really helping myself. And then I came out of that and I just went, all right, let's kind of know, shut all that stuff down, because, you know, what I talk about now is happiness, and I wasn't happy. And I put on a talk after all that. We shut them all down. I put on a talk, and at the end of the talk, I'd package in all my personal development stuff that I've learnt, and someone at the end of it called me the bucket list guy, and here we are.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I love that. Actually, just sort of first thing I'd love to talk about is about your sort of switch, I guess, between the two career paths, I guess, in a way. Similar, yep. Not too far apart, but in the terms that you're helping yourself, and actually, obviously, myself, I've done sort of similar training courses and yep. so forth, and it really about, you've got to be able to help yourself first, really, before you can help anyone else.
Totally, totally. I'm always, what fascinates me is psychology. You know, I've always, if I wasn't going to, one of the things that I was going to do at uni was go into sports psychology and elite level sports coaching and stuff like that. But then I looked at the psychology and how much schooling you've got to do, and I just went, oh, you know what, too hard basket. And there was this thing called personal training, and obviously that was an industry just on the brink of exploding, which it is. And so, yeah, I went obviously down that track. But the mindset, positive psychology right now just fascinates me. You know, I love what I do now is positive psychology.
Yeah.
And I've wrapped a lot of positive psychology philosophy into and around the things that I offer people.
Describe to the listeners in simple layman terms, what is positive psychology?
The scientific study of happiness. Yeah. It's probably the best description I can give it. And all the psychs out there that are going to listen to this is probably going to send me hate mail, but I rank
potentially
it as
death mail there.
Yeah, so. Potentially. Look, here, the thing is, you know, traditional psychology, right? Here's the deal. Traditional psychology is about regression. You have to go into someone's past to, quote unquote, fix them to be normal. My question is, what the fuck is normal? You know,
exactly.
I don't know if we can swear on this, but what the hell is normal? You know, and no one wants normal in this day and age. They want it. They want performance. So that's beyond normal. So positive psychology is not so much regressive. It more concentrates on the strengths and attributes of a person, and highlights those, works on those, in order to create more meaning and fulfillment and goal achievement within that person, rather than concentrating on their weaknesses.
Yeah.
Makes sense? Mm. And that's where you get the best out of people.
Yeah. I always like the sort of metaphor for coaching compared to being a psychologist was, psychologist sort of looks through the rear view mirror of a car while the coach looks it through the through the front windscreen.
You've got to go back a little bit to clean up people's baggage, to not clean up, that's a bad term, but reframe it.
Yeah.
So if someone, you know, whether it be around money, relationships, now health, business, career, whatever it might be, people have got stuff. They're running stories that have been created from their past. Mm. We've all got them. Mm. And so it's about, you know, stepping into those. Where do those stories come from? Reframing those stories, because they are just us simply creating meaning around a bunch of so-called facts that we've come to think that are true.
Yep.
So we've created meaning around those facts, and we've created a story as to why we can or cannot do something in life. So it's about reframing that, putting another meaning on it, and stepping forward into the future, and giving them possibly a vision, you know, in my case, in the form of a bucket list, which is a more of a tangible vision to go towards, and have them become toward motivated rather than away from motivated too.
Okay. So just on the bucket list, so you get, I imagine it's basically, you've got a list of items of particular things you want to do. So in linking that to your stories you're telling yourself, are you using sort of these, I guess, tangible goals or lists?
End steps, yeah.
Steps to sort of bring you away from those stories into the stories that you really want to create.
It's a cool way of goal setting.
Yeah.
Works for kids. I do a lot of talks in schools and that sort of thing as well. And it really it's a cool way of goal setting. So what it does is give people, because when we talk about goals, a lot of people talk about money. And money, you know, what we do as a career, you know, for our jobs or careers should do two things and two things only. And it does only two things and two things only, and that is spit out time flow and cash flow. Next question is, because that's not the end point, the next question is, well, what are you going to do with that time and cash? You know, double bonus though, if you love what you do and it hits your values, which is your internal rule book, then sweet, and you're helping other people and serving the world. And but yeah, it's about helping people define a tangible end step. But it's not just about these ticks, you know, or these crosses off the bucket list. This is totally about the person you become on the journey to achieving the things on your bucket list, but more importantly, it's about the person that exists on the other side, which is the person that they don't know yet.
Yeah, and the person they want to become.
And that's called potential.
Yeah.
And when you see a potential, like a five-year-old kid learning a new skill, it'll put a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And they say, the Dalai Lama says, happiness is the meaning of life.
Mm. Yeah, that's really cool. And it's, I guess everyone sort of heard the term of a bucket list, and I'd love to sort of look a little bit into about your own personal one. And when did yours start? Did yours start when you decided to start teaching this, or did yours start prior to that?
It's a good question, because when I went to that, when I did that first seminar, I quite literally, you know, I had this list to do before I died since I was 18.
Yep.
And you know, it was to do an Ironman. I think that was the second one on it, to go to Mount Everest Base Camp. They were the top two.
Yep.
And I think Richard Branson was up there pretty high too.
Yeah,
and so this was my list to do before I die. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I just wrote it down. And wherever I went around, you know, shared accommodation and whatnot. And in uni, I had my little blue, and I've always written down my goals. So I had this little blue folder that I used to cart around. It used to be in my bed, and I'd be, you know, always reflecting on it, reading it, adding to it, crossing stuff off. It was my list to do before I die. So when I, and it's been my driver, it's always been my driver right through personal training as to why I just got on with shit.
Mm.
And why I got on with just, you know, setting up businesses really quick. And I was always glass half full and enthusiastic, I guess, too.
Yes.
Is that, you know, when I did the seminar and then I shared this with people, I'd, you know, even those that knew me quite well didn't know I had this little list going on. And I asked the audience of about 40 people, and I said, well, who else has got one of these lists, like out of their head and actually written down? I was the only freak in the room.
Mm.
So, this is before apps. And I've still got that list today, and it's funny how it all happens. But I shared some of the stuff, and I said, well, you know, what would you put on it? You know, this list to do before you die. Mm. And people were like, you know, just went nuts. The room went crazy. And I said, they're cool. And then, literally quite at the end, Joe, one of our personal training clients at the time, she said, how's all this list to do before you die stuff? It's like a, you know, one of those bucket lists. Mm. You're like the bucket list guy. And that's how I got my name.
Yeah.
And that night I went home and registered the domain, and here we are.
Love it. It's actually interesting. It's something I've definitely looked at myself over the past, probably actually last couple of months really. It's really come up for me, and I sort of thought, you know, you're here for a certain amount of time, and I don't want to go into, you know, death and all that.
Well,
we can. We can. And I'm not concerned about it. I'm quite happy with how it sits. And like Steve Jobs says, you know, no one's invented a way to avoid it. It's going to happen, so don't, so you might as well do what you love. But it's actually interesting about, I guess, staggering these things you want to do in your life, these bucket list items. And I was actually on the weekend, just randomly, I was sort of drawing a graph, and I thought, I was drawing on your physical peak in a way, in terms of age. And I thought, what's your thoughts on how do you organize, I guess, in a more, organize these goals? If you have a list of 100, like, how do you sort of get into the nitty gritty? Because I thought, I want to do an Ironman, and I thought, probably my during the 30s, when you're sort of at your peak, I guess you're going to be perfect to do an Ironman or the physical challenges. And I thought,
I'll tell you how I did an Ironman.
Yep.
Having never done a triathlon before, grew up as a swimmer doing surf life saving and surfing and that sort of thing, can swim, done, you know, the pier to pub swims and stuff like that.
Yep.
Placed in the top 10 like 8 times.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Done one marathon.
Yep.
didn't own a pushy. As an experiment, I'd have said if write this down, kids. If the why is strong enough, the how will work itself out.
Mm.
So I really wanted to do it. So I entered.
Yep.
So you got to enter. You got to enter a year out.
Yep.
So I entered.
Yep.
And then I worked it out how to do it.
Yeah.
And I was 6 minutes off qualifying for a Y.
Yeah, wow.
And lost 6.5 kilograms in 9.5 hours.
Yeah, wow.
And put myself on the drip in the medical tent. And that's a whole other story. I just went a bit crazy. But
what year was this? Did you do it?
It was 2012. It was the first one that they had in Melbourne.
Awesome. So I've had a few mates obviously done it as well. And I've sort of had it there too. And I've done a 50K ultra marathon in the past, but I haven't done the Ironman. I think it's one of those ones.
Google guy, you know, Google retired runner, and you'll probably see a picture of me trying to do the last half of the marathon.
Okay. Well, I saw a few of them on the field. I think I went and cheered on my cousin.
It was a big day in the Hurt Locker, I'll tell you. You got to set that intention. You got to do something.
Yeah.
All right. I have people in my, you know, I do extended workshops and seminars sometimes, and I have people, I tell them how to write a personally meaningful and holistic bucket list. And if people want to know how to write a bucket list, I've created a 12-step program. It sounds a little bit like AA, but it's on my website. It's called the My Bucket List Blueprint, right?
Yep, yep.
And there are 12 questions you can ask yourself that'll help you extract and then articulate that personally meaningful and holistic list, right? But when I have more time with audiences, I love this bit. And I am always like, for corporations and associations that book me, I'm all like, you know, give me some more time. Because what I do is I go through that and extract, and then we start writing stuff down. We do a reverse list and we do a bucket list as well.
Yeah.
And we've also got a fuck it list. That's like, you know, that sounds all too much hard work. Fuck that. I'm not putting that on there.
Yeah.
So we call that a fuck it list.
So
but
I kinda like it. What's an example for listeners? Like, what's a fuck it list sort of?
But a fuck it list?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, a little backstory here. I don't know how much time we got, but
we've got plenty.
Cool. There's a guy, funnily enough, that interviewed me for his blog. I don't know if we get the name of it, but he said, mate, I'm coming down to Melbourne on this Saturday, you know, can I interview, you know, can I buy you a coffee and this sort of thing. Yeah, cool, man. He was coming down from Queensland. I thought, yep, no worries. And he got down here. He goes, what are you going on today? I said, fucking nothing really. Right, I was going to have a chat to you and just eat and go and do some training or whatever. And he goes, I've organised a couple of Lamborghinis. Fuck, all right, sweet. Let's do it. And we got some GoPros and we went out and we drove Lamborghinis out at one of the raceways and just went nuts.
Nice.
And I'm like, all right, sweet. he paid for it.
Yep.
And
was that on his list or was that on...
Yeah. I don't know. And anyway, see, the dude, what's really interesting, we're good mates now. His name's Dan. And he's a base jumper.
Oh, cool.
Now, that's fucking next level if you ask me.
Yeah.
And so we're on the car on the way home. I go, dude, you know, like I'm pretty risk averse, you know, I do most things. And you know, I'd love to summit Everest, which scares I've gone to advanced base camp on Everest, on the Tibetan side.
Well, I'm actually looking to go there in April actually. Yeah. Got a mate climbing and I'm
On Nepalese or the...
On the Nepalese side, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, and, yeah, yeah.
Were you on that side or were you on
we're on the Tibetan side.
The Tibetan side,
with whether you call it China or Tibet, that's such a controversy.
Yeah,
I went with a full-on expedition, not just a little tour.
Yep.
Like, I went with 12 full-on fucking summiters.
Yep.
And, sorry, and so these guys are hardcore.
Yep.
So... what was I telling you that? So that is on the list and it scares the bejesus out of me. But base jumping is next level, even above that, I reckon. And this Dan guy goes, yeah, I'm a base jumper. And I'm like, dude, seriously, take me through the psychology of it. We didn't record any of this sort of stuff. I'm like, you know, because I spoke on stage over in New Zealand in Queenstown, funnily enough, the epicenter of everything extreme. And I spoke on stage with Glenn Singleman and Heather Swan, who hold a couple of world records in base jumping, Aussies.
Okay.
And I did my thing, they did their thing, and I was like blown away. So I just got this fascination about base jumping. Anyway, this Dan guy, he knows them and blah, blah, blah. I'm tipping it's a pretty small community. And I said, dude, how do you, you know, like, you know, you do a few skydives. And he said, yeah, you got to do like 200 skydives, and then they'll tick you off as an official base jumper.
Oh wow!
That'd cost, you know, tens of thousands, I'd imagine, and that'd be a 3 to 5 year plan. And he goes, no, you can go, no, if you really want to do it. I'm like, easy. I don't really want it. Like, it's not high up on the list there.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, no, Trav, let's seriously, and he was serious, and I started to like, you know, everything started to shrivel.
Yep.
And he's gone, no, what you can do, you can live on this place out of San Diego, live there for a month, live on this airstrip where all the Jeb Corliss and all the, you know, the Grinding the Crack guy, you know, on YouTube. Yeah. Look up Grinding the Crack.
Okay,
this guy all in black in a flying fox outfit.
Oh really? Yeah.
Base jumping with a wingsuit. And where all they hang out.
Yeah.
And you can, what you can do, Trevor, is live on base and just do like 5 or 6 jumps a day at about $10 a pop or something, and just live on base and just go up, down until you've done your 200. You can knock over 200 in a month, no worries. And then you can do base jumping. I've gone, what? So you're saying where I stand right now in 1 month, I could be a base jumper? He goes, yeah, cool. Yeah, no worries. Mate, do you want to borrow my wingsuit? I said, no, I don't want to have this fucking conversation, mate.
Good friend.
I'm like, yeah, get out of my car.
Out of my Lamborghini.
Yeah. So that's firmly on there. That kind of freaks me out. This is part of my psychology that goes, you know what, if people can do it, it can be done.
Yeah.
So my hat's off to adventurers, you know, people that do things for the first time.
Did you do it
time.
Or didn't decide?
No, I haven't. I haven't done that.
It's a fair commitment. Five, six jumps a day for a month. That's
my excuse is I've got a lot of people to help first. Yeah.
I like it.
How do you like that?
Hold that close.
Yeah. Oh, it's close then. That's firmly on that list.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess for listeners out there, now they probably listen to this thing and, shit, I'm going to get stuck into a couple of my ideas that I'd always wanted to achieve in my lifetime.
Yep.
Obviously, we'll jump on your website, which is, by the way,
www.thebucketlistguy.com.
Awesome.
Yep.
So jump on, other than the 12 step you just mentioned, what is a couple of things someone could do right now with a pen and paper and go, right, yeah, we're going to get stuck in?
Now, what I was going to say was people have just got to commit. So with the Ironman, I just committed. I just signed up.
Yep.
What I want people to do is, after we go through on how to write a list and stuff, basically, I want people to do something.
Yeah.
All right? And that's really where it starts.
Yeah.
It's like enter something, pay for something, publicly declare it on Facebook. So in the extended seminars, what I did was I was over in Mumbai giving one for the YPO over there, and I had everyone leave the room, and there was a... Yeah, we did this over there, and there's three people. I said, oh, all this bucket list stuff is all well and good, and they're all pumped up. And I was like, all right, guys, you've got 15 minutes. You've got your phones. I want you to get outside the room, and you got to do something now. Because I'm not about just giving people a shitload of theory, more theory, and where their notes just collect more dust.
Yep.
They've got to take action. Mm. And three people out of that came back in India, and this is a high entrepreneur, like, wealthy entrepreneur group.
Yep.
And three people came back going, oh, thanks for the break, Trevor. And I said, all right, well, I said to everyone, you're not allowed back in the room until you've done something. They come back and they said, all three of us got together and we're really pissed off with the aged care system in India. I said, what did you do? And they go, we just rang the Prime Minister because we've got access to his executive assistant, and we've got a meeting with him next week. What the...
Jesus.
Really, I don't know what came out of it. Another example of that is when people are pushed, they'll do stuff. Yeah. Now, you've got the old school personal trainer in me can't die.
Yeah.
And so this other dude, this is hilarious, he's a pilot.
Yep.
With, I won't say the airline, he's a commercial pilot in Australia. and he did one of these seminars, and he's come back and he came back in the room, and he was fucking white. He was white. I said, "Dude, what did you do?" He goes, "Oh, I was really pumped up, Trav, and he was like, you know, kind of like an engineer type, like a full bookworm, you know, not a big personality kind of guy, and you know, I over the course of the seminar, I was barely whether he was paying attention or not. I think it was, you know, didn't think he was. He came back and goes, "What'd you do to me? What'd you do?" He goes, "Well, on my bucket list was to do a stand-up comedy gig, and I've just entered myself in an open mic, and I've just publicly declared it on Facebook."
Oh,
I went, "What the fuck? Really, dude? Really?" And he's like full on white and about to throw up.
Oh.
Anyway, for next minute, he did it, filmed it, sent it to me. So proud of him. And he's done another one since, and he was actually funny.
Was he?
Yeah, it was actually funny. And so I get sent this stuff from people all around the world all the time. It's so inspiring.
Yeah.
And people just going out. So you've got to just do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how you write a list is pretty straight. You know, the broad brushstrokes are, it's a My Bucket List blueprint, right?
Yep.
So and this is kind of what you get on the site, but I've got some videos and stuff. So it's an acronym. So My Bucket List. So it stands for the people that you want to meet before your time is up. So, you know, I've met Richard Branson and had lunch with Tim Ferriss. And, that's M-Y, your proud achievements, you know, things you want to be proud of before your time is up.
Yep.
B, buy that special something, you know, whether it be for yourself or for someone else.
Cool.
U stands for ultimate challenges, such as an Ironman, it could be just a 5K run, whatever. C, conquer a fear. K, kind acts for others. So it's not just about you, it's about what you can do for other people as well, which is a big part of what I do now. E stands for express yourself, the creative side of you, getting that out.
Yep.
T stands for take lessons. You know, what are some of the skills that you want to learn?
Yeah.
My bucket to. L, leave a legacy.
Yeah.
How are you going to be remembered in 50 years, 100 years?
Mm-hmm.
I, idiotic stuff, you know, the backpacker in us all.
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah.
S stands for satisfy curiosity. Here's where shit gets weird. And so, I had someone, no word of a lie, in a room of 250 people, this chick got up and said, you know, S, one of my S's is I'd like to be in an orgy.
In front of everyone.
Let's just say she was really popular at the break.
I can.
And even I was on the stage, I was just going, what?
Yeah, what to say then?
And the last one is T, which stands for travel adventures.
Wow.
Yeah, which makes up a lot of people's bucket list. But as you can see now, it gets you thinking, doesn't it?
It does. And just on the travel adventure we mentioned before we started recording, you've done a lot of miles across the globe, and I think there's a video on your website about it. It's cool watching it. And out of all those places, which was sort of was Nepal the biggest tick for you, or what was the biggest one?
Tibet was kind of freaky. Lhasa in Tibet is an amazing place. I mean, you've got all the classics like Machu Picchu, and we did. But if you're going to do these things, you don't want to be just follow the tourist route.
Yeah.
We did the Inca Trail, and I took my dad.
Yeah.
And I took a bunch of other, like 15-odd bucket listers who were in my community.
Yeah.
I took them there. And we finished, funnily enough, on my 40th birthday.
Yeah, cool.
And I know what you're thinking. Oh, my God, you don't look 40. But
definitely
weren't thinking that at all. We finished. I was there with my old man. And a bunch of, you know, close friends, Machu Picchu on my 40th birthday, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
We did Kokoda last year, and finished the day before Anzac Day, and did the dawn service at the Bamana War Cemetery in Port Moresby, which was unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, that's an Australian pilgrimage, if you ask me. Mm. It was hardcore. But then, you know, like I...
How many days does it take to do that?
It was 8 days.
8 days, yeah. I'd love to do it.
It's unreal, mate. Yeah. Unreal. It's bloody hard.
Yeah.
But then, you know, our group motto was, well, Kevin Rudd has done this.
Yes.
And fucking Koshy has done this.
Done
you know,
this.
That dick on TV. and some dude, Kurt, had done it on his hands.
I had heard that one.
Plus, we're not getting shot at. We're getting shot at. These blokes, the blokes, our troops,
yeah,
the diggers, had 20 kilograms more than we were carrying. Hobnail boots with dysentery, getting shot at. Seriously.
It's incredible. And I guess, is there an actual trail there? Like, it's obviously beaten in. I'm guessing the soldiers back in the day, it would have been just plain old jungle. Like.
No, they're all, it's a track. It's actually a track, a coated track,
yep,
in between all the villages up there in the highlands. Wow. They fought up and down that. We played the last post like four times during where a lot of Aussies had lost their lives. Mate, it's so good.
Yeah.
So good. And it's hard. It's hard because of the heat and everything. And
so worth it.
But you can't, like, once you're in, you can't get out. You know, people were complaining. Everyone had their little breakdown before breakthrough moment.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you just like, well, you can sit there and bitch and moan about how hot it is and the hills and that sort of thing, or just get up and move.
Get on with it.
So a lot of people had some good breakthroughs and had some moments. Let's just put it that way.
Do you do yearly trips or regular trips with your guys and take them places? Or
look, I've got an online travel business now that sort of enables people to do that.
Yeah.
And that's been really awesome. But yeah, we're doing, I took people to Kokoda, obviously Machu Picchu, taking a bunch of people next year to do Kilimanjaro and safaris and stuff.
That'd be cool.
And I just love going with people, you know, like-minded people, and whoever wants to come along can come along.
Yeah,
we'll put it all together and go from there. Because that's one of the things on the bucket list.
Yep.
is to do the climb summit Kilimanjaro, and also swim in the Devil's Pool.
Wow, where's that?
That's at Victoria Falls.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's right on the edge of Victoria Falls. Pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone's been washed over yet.
Not yet.
But yeah, as far as travel is concerned, you know, that being said, I can't wait. I'm at the start of next year. Actually, this year I'm spending New Year's Eve in Cuba.
Okay.
Yeah, because on the bucket list is to, you know, visit every country on earth, but plus smoke a Cuban cigar in Cuba, which
in Cuba
is unreal for an asthmatic.
It's going to serve you well.
Oh, yeah, one puff, I'm
you're
I'm
gone.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Well, we were actually, I want to just go into a couple other things.
Yeah,
what are the sort of three things you commonly see that is holding people back from doing these things?
Starting.
You mentioned starting. What else is there?
Starting and keeping the end, you know, keeping it all. What we've got to do, right, is separate our to-do list from our bucket list.
Yeah.
And realise that, you know, I give everyone a real wake-up call. You know, I talk about cancer, and the whole bucket list movie was about two blokes that got given a cancer diagnosis and then they wrote their list. So what I do is, you know, live, I give people a virtual diagnosis. Mm. And they need to be, there's a lot of people out there that are just unconsciously just on the day-to-day treadmill. Mm. And it's until something like a diagnosis or you get given a use-by date that actually wakes people up. So I'd like to think that I wake people up to, one, take time out of their lives to work on their lives.
Yep.
Two, actually write something down.
Yeah.
Like get it out of your head and write it down, because it's a conscious process by actually writing stuff down. And three, do something.
Yeah.
Because it's very, very contagious. And don't think that you've got to go to Machu Picchu or bloody Everest or do Ironman.
Yeah.
Is there any shit like that? It's about, you know, you can just be a tourist in your own town first. It's really what you pay attention to. And that's our currency these days, is our attention. So start paying more attention to the things that bring you happiness.
Yeah.
And to be, and for all the, you know, the people out there, you know, maybe parents out there that are listening, is to actually be self-centered. It's not selfish, because that's got negative connotations around it, but it's be self-centered and go, you know what, this is my life.
Yes.
What do I truly want to do before my time is up?
Yeah.
You know, the average age of death, mate, is 83 for girls and 79 for us blokes. Mm. Now, when I talk, I give everyone a grid of 80 squares, and that's how long you've got to live.
Yeah.
That's how long we've got on earth.
Yep.
And then I have everyone on the grid is cross out the ones you've been alive. So if you're 40 something like me, half of them are gone.
Yeah.
And a couple more. And you look at that and you go, Jesus, okay.
It's very tangible.
I've never seen it like that.
Yep.
And then I ask three very poignant questions. One, how many people know people have been diagnosed or died from cancer? Pretty much the whole room puts their hand up. Number two, I ask, how many people do you know have been diagnosed or died from cancer? Show of fingers. People are holding up tens and toes and all sorts of things.
Mm.
So three, how many of them made their 80 squares? It's very shocking.
Yeah.
That's the first 10 minutes of my presentation. I just got a gig today at the Australian Stock Exchange. Talking to all the top guys up there, it's just like the dude who's got me talking up there in Sydney is just like, these guys need a wake-up call.
Yeah.
I get the privilege, and the not-so-good privilege, I guess, depends which way you look at it, to go around the world and wake people up.
Yeah. That's really cool. And I think I heard this saying, I'm sure you heard it, it's... sometimes people probably need to be told when they're born that they're actually dying rather than they're actually living, because it gives you that idea that you have got that
limited lifespan.
Yeah,
we have. And the title of my normal keynote is "People are dying at 40 and being buried at 80."
Yeah, so true. So we've got these 12 steps and we sort of...
sounds a bit like AA, doesn't it?
It does a little bit. Maybe we can sit them side by side to each other.
Oh, look. Yeah, one of the same.
Might be the best way to find clients.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So I guess we're sort of coming towards the end. Like, I could talk about these, what you've done and all these sorts of things. So I'm from here. Just got some flies with me now. From here, you've got guys that are going to... Obviously, taking that first step and really, you know, really... Getting started, I guess, is probably the key thing people should be taking out of this. Obviously, now finding you is thebucketlistguy.com.
Yep.
What are the sort of big things you see for yourself coming up over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years and where you're going with this and hopefully taking it?
Jeez, that's a big question. Mate, there's only so many people I've spoken to thus far, and it's going to sound really, you know, lame, but my mission is to seriously make a dent in people's lives and get them to seriously wake up. Because I think, you know, I don't watch TV. Yeah. I don't listen to the radio. I know that Paris. I know that Paris has been attacked. Yeah. I think we can all pick that sort of stuff up. But a lot of people are living their lives, you know, by default, not by design.
Yeah.
And I want people to design their lives and have a regret-free life.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that get to the end of their life and go, geez, I should have. What? I've let life, you know, people do wake up way too late.
Mm.
And I'm at a stage now where I've talked to that many people that it's had such a profound effect on people that it drives me to do it even bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
So more audiences, bigger audiences right around the world, keep doing what I'm doing, and that's pretty much it. And I mean, it'll take different forms, you know, whether, you know, different things in media, etc., etc. So really for me, my happiness comes from being able to do my bucket list, number one, and always having the capacity and the time to do my own list in amongst helping everyone else, and just help other people to do exactly the same. That's my mission. And to help, you know, one of the biggest, because I've been through depression, is to, and I've helped people out of depression.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of my drivers as well, because, you know, a lot of depression, I won't go into, you know, my thoughts on depression, but you and I both know that a lot of it is caused by societal pressures, and and look, if I can have a hand in making a dent on our you know, the rise of depression and the crazy rise of depression in teenagers, by paying some of these messages forward, whether it be I talk to a, like I have a lot lately, I say, you know, I'll be in a keynote and I'll talk to someone who owns a business or a worker that then takes all what we're doing, takes all the theory that they've learned from me and then pays it forward into their family, and then their family gets affected and their kids get affected and they live happier lives.
Yeah.
Mate, job done.
Perfect. Last thing I'd like to do with every guest who comes on, for the guys, maybe a couple of books that people get their hands on that you would recommend listeners for.
Being an absolute Tim Ferriss fan and a productivity hacker, and now part of this digital nomad movement where I can open up the laptop and work from wherever I am in the world, which is what I love. I love mobility and freedom. The 4-hour work week obviously is one that I'd recommend, and two is the book by Tal Ben-Shahar, and that was one of the books that changed my life, called Happier.
All right.
So in the depths of me being sad, a friend of mine gave me this book called Happier. I still, to this day, I have no idea what she was trying to tell me. You miserable prick, here, have a book on happiness, you're dragging us all down. But you know, I was at that time, I was one of these guys, you'd rock up for a coffee or a beer or something and you'd need a wash or a holiday after, you know. I was just dumping on people. But in that book, that contributed to me doing what I do. In that book, he's got this thing called the MPS process, three intersecting circles. What gives you meaning, what gives you pleasure, and what are your strengths? In the middle is your calling. Mm. So I got, you know, when I did that, I got motivational speaker. I'm like, fuck, great, wanker. that book changed my life, and that is all about positive psychology. And I hope to have Tal Ben-Shahar on my podcast, Bucket List Life, in a few months. So
for sure.
I'd recommend those two books. What else? And I always like The Alchemist as well, or The Peaceful, you know, The Peaceful Warrior, Way of the Peaceful Warrior. It's all about the journey and being present. And I do a lot of, you know, meditate every day and just being present, because we live in this fast-paced, attention-grabbing world where instant gratification, and we don't stop to appreciate what we've actually got and be grateful for what we've got. And as hippie as and tree hugger as that sounds, it takes a few hits to really realize what a privileged life we've got in this country, especially and how awesome life is, and we should choose the things that honestly make us happy and not be in this world of sacrifice now to enjoy later, which a lot of us live in.
Love it. Well, I think we're coming towards the end, and I really want to acknowledge you for coming on this podcast. Excited to have you here, and the guys, I'm sure, will absolutely love what you just had to say. And really not acknowledge you for the work you're doing, and I'm stoked for the next coming years, and so many people are going to benefit from the stuff you're doing. Hope you keep smashing it, and we'll have to definitely get you back on sometime in the future.
Cool. Yeah, it seems the older I get, the more crazier things are happening. So who knows? Might end up in the wingsuit. Who knows?
Maybe.
Right. Maybe not. Cheers, man.
Thanks for that.
So there you have it, folks. Episode 34 with Trav Bell. Man, that guy is cool, and it was a lot of fun actually sitting out at the park and chatting to the guy. He's an absolute superstar. Lot to share, and I really hope you guys got a lot out of that, enjoyed it, put a smile on your face, and listen to this man go about his business as the bucket list guy, and really helping you guys decide what you want to do, how you're going to do it, and really getting stuck into it to make sure it gets done. So make sure you take some notes on that one and really pass it on to any friends you recommend. Have to listen to this episode with Trav. He is an absolute superstar. So super happy to have him on the show. And guys, again, if you get the chance, give us a little rating on iTunes, you know, preferably 5 stars, depending on what you want to do. definitely, guys. Love having you here. I really love these people who listen to the show. Obviously, you're here wanting to take your game to the next level. Really appreciate you, and really want to acknowledge you for amazing effort you're putting in. Listen to this right now, whether you're in your car, gym, cooking dinner, walking, mowing lawns, or whatever the hell you're doing. Super happy for you. Super stoked for you. Give us a shout out, and I'll happily tweet back or Instagram or Periscope or whatever you're on, get out there and let people know. But we really appreciate that, guys. So hope you have a massive week. Next week, got a huge guest coming on. I'm really actually stoked about this one. And I think you guys are going to really dig his stuff. Got some crazy cool talent. So keep an eye out for that one. But guys, have a massive week. Really enjoy yourself. Really hope you're living out what you really want to do. Start making those steps just one day at a time. You know, the whole compound theory, guys. Keep stacking those data together, and after a while, that graph starts to multiply and you get the massive results. So all about day in, day out, guys. Focus, and excited for you. So get stuck in. Enjoy your week. Speak to you soon. Episode 35 coming up.